Postbiz is proudly presented by IJG. IJG, making your money work for you.
Welcome to Ghostbiz here on the Business Report on Nova 103.5. I'm Gary Strubel and I'm talking to the finance ghost to find out what's going on in the world of equities and stocks, not only in Southern Africa, but also around the world. So, Ghost, welcome back to the show. Let's start out with food. The chicken industry is not one to be in if you're chicken. We look at Astral Foods' numbers, pretty volatile in that sector.
Hi, Gary. Always lovely to do these with you. I did think of you this week when there was an absolute lack of any TrustCo announcements. So you had to dig in and find some other stuff. And Astral Foods is a good choice. Yes, the chicken industry is wildly volatile. And the reason isn't because people either do or don't want to eat chicken. Demand for chicken is pretty straightforward, really. It's a core protein, especially in South Africa. But because the margins are so tight in this business, what ends up happening is that stuff like load shedding, obviously avian flu, any other kind of issues really hit their margins. It's one of the lowest margin businesses you'll ever find in your life. And unfortunately, when your margin is like 2% or 3% or as low as that, you can a 100 basis points change in gross profit right at the top of the income statement means your net profit has moved by like 33% or 50%. So it gets tough. And I actually went and had a look in Ghostbites at how Astral's headline earnings per share has done over the past couple of years, because they announced that for the 6 months to March, it's up by between 435 and 445%, which tells you how crazy volatile it is. But if you go back and have a look, the guidance they've given for 2024 is still way below where 2022 was, for example. So 2023 was a particularly awful year for a bunch of reasons, and they've put in a pretty strong recovery here. But yeah, it's certainly a roller coaster. If you are kind of looking for stocks that you can just buy and forget and not pay attention to, please look elsewhere because the poultry sector is tough.
All right, from foods, let's turn our attention now to mining and more importantly, a side of mining that is tragic when it happens and has enormous consequences for both the communities that it affects and the investors that are in that space. And this is BHP. So the company has responded to press speculation, and this is with regards to what's commonly known as the Samarco Dam failure back in 2015 in South America, where a tailings dam collapsed. We've seen this happen in South Africa as well. Tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
Yes, absolutely, Gary. And that is, of course, the left field story of BHP for the last week, because they've been in the headlines for the Anglo-American attempted transaction where they wanted to make a play for Anglo. Anglo board is having none of it, so we'll have to see how that goes. That is, of course, a developing story, and I'm not sure we've seen the last of BHP in this regard. Deals that size, it's unusual to just fire one arrow and then stop. But yes, of course, one of the other stories in the background for BHP is the Samarco Dam failure, which I think was all the way back in 2015. There's actually an incredible video of it on YouTube if you go and check it out. But yeah, it is quite something to see. It's quite obvious how it caused massive destruction in the area and certainly tons of heartache and many billions of dollars in costs for the joint investors in Samarco, and that is BHP and Vale. And there's a lot of speculation in the press, particularly in Brazil, which is where the dam is, on, you know, how much the settlement will be, when it will happen. Obviously, BHP has had to recognize some enormous provisions for this. And when the speculation hits the media, then BHP inevitably has to respond to it as well, because, of course, they continue to just manage a PR disaster here, frankly. So current status is that BHP, Vale and Samarco have effectively submitted a non-binding indicative settlement proposal. We're used to reading about non-binding indicative acquisition kind of ideas and announcements, but here it's a settlement. And the total amount under the proposal is $25.7 billion. It's a lot of money. It includes amounts already invested to date in this whole process. And obviously, BHP is not that entire amount. BHP says that their share of the remaining payments is within the provision of $6.5 billion that they had on their balance sheet at the end of 2023. So basically what they are saying there is that there shouldn't be any further nasty surprises for shareholders, provided the current settlement proposal is accepted, of course.
We've followed the story of Eli's and its demise, its recent demise, but it's still a little bit premature to call it dead. Eli's is still trading. What is the story there?
Yes, household name Eli's, and certainly one of the sort of high-profile corporate failures of the year thus far. Look, I think the thing to remember here is that there are complicated group structures, and sometimes, well, not sometimes, but it always makes a difference where the debt is actually held. And that can be the reason why, for example, a listed holding company can essentially go bust. And the operating company further down, which maybe doesn't have the debt sitting in the holding company, can actually potentially survive. So this is also why banks and lenders spend a lot of time and energy trying to figure out where their debt should sit in a capital structure. The approach that banks take generally is that they try and be as close to the assets as possible. I remember from my banking days and from dealing with clients trying to raise debt, banks want to be right where the money is. And there are very, very good reasons for that, because if your debt is plugged into where the cash is being generated, then you can go after those assets and you can go after that cash to actually get yourself paid as the bank. So at Ellie's, for example, we have a scenario where the listed holding company, which is where you would hold shares if you own listed shares in this thing, that seems to have no real prospect of being saved, and there's an application underway for liquidation there. But the subsidiary company, Ellie's Electronics Pty Limited, is still operating. And there, the business rescue practitioner, because they are in business rescue as well, that business rescue practitioner reckons that there's actually a chance that business has got reasonable prospects of being saved. So maybe the Ellie's brand will fight on another day, but the listed holding company, as it currently stands, is probably not going to.
Turn our attention now to a stock that was a darling for a little bit and then became one of those where everyone blamed each other, and now seems to be back in with some positive press, and that's Renergen, which is a helium producer in the Free State in South Africa. What's going on with that share price?
Yeah, I don't know if we can say that Renergen's had much in the way of positive press. So I guess in some respects, balance sheet related, sure. They've done quite a good job, I think, of actually putting in place the capital they need for the next phase. But where the bad press has come in has been on the operational stuff. So Renergen, the value in the stock is all about phase two at their Virginia project. And as they reminded the market in their latest announcement, phase two is only going to become commercially operational probably in 2027. So you have to have a lot of patience here, which is typical of these early stage energy and mining type groups. In the meantime, Renergen is selling LNG and trying to operate phase one of its business. And that's where some of the concerns have come in. They had to shut it down for a few months due to maintenance issues, and that has affected now their financials at the moment. And obviously, those who want to take a bearish view on Renergen will, of course, point to all these operational issues and then extrapolate what that might mean in years to come. Those who are more bullish on Renergen will, of course, point out that actually phase one is almost a distraction. It really is all about phase two and whether or not they can deliver on that in the time frame they've given, and whether they can actually raise the funding to do it. So there's a lot happening in that regard, including a potential NASDAQ listing as well. So it's a bit of a mixed bag at the moment for Renergen, bulls and bears fighting it out, but the share price has definitely been a rough one since the peaks of the pandemic. I think the problem is that it really did become a market darling and became a scenario where too many investors jumped into that thing without actually understanding what they were buying, not realizing that junior mining is years of work, lots of capital raising along the way. And here we sit with a share price that is way off the pandemic peaks. Unfortunately, some lessons learned for people.
Thanks, Ghost. And lastly, let's take a look at a share that I know you love. You love talking about it, so let's talk about it a little bit more. Core Earnings at WeBuyCars. That's their recent unbundling and listing. And it looks like there's some more good news for investors at WeBuyCars. Tell us more.
Yes, quite right. I do enjoy WeBuyCars and I do hold shares in it. So maybe some important disclosure there for listeners to note. So WeBuyCars at the moment, earnings are going in the right direction, but you also need to know where to look. I'm generally very skeptical of anything along the lines of core earnings, especially core headline earnings per share. The reason being that the difference between earnings and headline earnings already strips out a whole bunch of once-offs that shouldn't really be in there. So when people start to strip out more stuff on top of that, I do get concerned that they are starting to massage numbers here. But at WeBuyCars, I feel comfortable with using their core numbers for this period, simply because they had a lot of once-off costs around the listing of the business, obviously. And there were also some quite significant non-cash amounts in the financials related to the derivative structures that were in place over the founders' shares. So this is very much non-operational, once-off kind of stuff. related to We Buy Cars' capital structure and the listing. So actual HEPS, I'm ignoring. Where I am focusing is core HEPS, and that's a good news story. An increase of 24 to 29% for the interim period. So that's coming in at between 117.5 and 122.3 cents. Higher volumes, higher average selling prices, and the ongoing benefits of economies of scale. All the stuff that I want to see.
And that's what we have time for this week. Thank you, Finance Ghost. Remember, you can go to ghostmail.co.za and subscribe to any one of the number of newsletters and different pieces of content that are created by the Finance Ghost. He can go through the walls, so he gets to see what's going on. That is Ghost Biz here on The Business Report, brought to you by IJG.
Ghost Biz was proudly presented by IJG. IJG, making your money work for you. Visit IJG.net for more information.